Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice, the Misfits of Gold weekly special. We've kind of taken a little hiatus due to me having surgery, but I tell you what, I sure did miss this show. The three gentlemen that do this show with me each and every week are truly, I like to call them my brothers in life. I don't usually say that about people I've never met, but you know what? These three characters, you don't got to know them face-to-face to truly realize that they do have your back in life. With that being said, I want to welcome MF Beck, Travis Hyland, and Sam Toomer to the program. What's up, fellas?
What's up, dude?
Miss you, Don.
And actually, Mr. Toomer's fucking in the middle of training. He's got fucking, you know, he's got to do his damn thing and get ready for that fight coming up. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He can't
beat
with us today, but it is what it is.
Hey, it's all good, man, because we're still on here. And, you know, we could kind of talk about Sam. I seen an interview that Sam did, you know, and I was quite impressed with it, you know, his nature and his stature of where his thoughts are at now. And about his career and where he's going in life have truly changed over the last few months. With you guys being there in Sacramento with him, have you guys seen the growth that I'm seeing through social media and other aspects with Sam Toomer as a warrior?
To be honest, man, I've always seen that. Like, to me, nothing's changed. Sam's just being Sam. I think it's just that now he has the freedom and to be himself. You know what I mean? Like, he has a way to express himself and, like, be who he wants to be. And he's not confined to, like, or restrained to any type of, like, you know, certain structure, certain mode. So I think it's cool, man. Like, I'm happy as fuck for the dude.
I think one thing that I've noticed, on, like, if I can just jump in here real quick, is I think Sam has a bit of a renewed sense of excitement, you know? He's been even more excited than normal for this fight. He's really enjoying and training again, man. And I think, you know, everything just kind of lining up for the perfect times right now. So I think it's been better, even more positive vibes on top of what they already are with him all the time.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I'm kind of glad that we were able to, as a team, correlate him with the right people and get things moving that direction. But I kind of want to jump on something that kind of just has been chapping my ass. Of course, I've been not on social media as much of late because I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. But, you know, this thing with sexual harassment, these people coming out of the woodwork and different things of this nature. Now today you see Matt Lauer was fired, you know, from CBS for sexual harassment. You know, and these are issues that are corresponding back in years. So what is it that takes people to the point that they got to say something, you know, 10, 12, 13 years down the road? What do you think it is that makes them wait so long? Why don't they say something right then and there? To me, I think they wait for the person to build their bank account, to gain social status or whatever it is before they try to defame them so they can get the most out of them. You know, Travis, being that you're the most outspoken of the group today, I'll let you go ahead and answer that first.
You know, I definitely think that it's a lot of that. And I think it's a lot of people, you know, who also in hindsight, you know, it might not have even been such a big deal at the time or the place, you know. I think what we're seeing now, you know, the same thing we're seeing with Hollywood, the same thing we're seeing with government, is more than all of this, man, it's the fact that people now finally have the ability to voice their opinion, you know. They have the ability to voice it. You look at people, you know, like Bill Cosby, who he's been, you know, raping and drugging women for years and years and years. And it's the farther you go back in time, man, the less access you have to this kind of information, and the less, you know, people can really get together and talk about these things, you know. It's something that's been going on for years and years and years and years, and we're just now kind of have the ability even to get the information out there to where people can see it, you know. So I think, like all things, man, it's the internet creating a new world that people aren't used to.
Yeah, you know, I look at it in somewhat the same aspect that you do, and I think my age has a little bit something to do with it, and I'm going to let MF touch on this in a second, but the way I kind of look at it the way you do, but then I also look at it as this is something that isn't isn't new. It's something that has been going ongoing since the beginning of entertainment aspect as far as TV, hiring people to be actors and actresses in movies and such. I think it's just something that has finally made its way out of the woodwork, that it's just it's been the status quo for Hollywood and many social aspects of media and entertainment for years. MF, what are your thoughts on the outplaying now?
Dude, like I've said it 1,000 times before, to me, I don't think it's anything new. You know, you hear about it in stories, fables, you know, even the Bible, dude. Like, you hear all types of crazy stories about something that, you know, involves some kind of sexual content, dude, and it either caused a war, caused people to die, you know, like, it's lust, you know, like, it's one of the sins. So, and even then, like, in any type of industry where there's somebody that has control, like, full power. Control over, like, your career, power, you know what I mean? Thank you. But somebody who has power, people are willing to do almost anything, dude, to feel like even taste like just a little bit, and they get sold these dreams. And, you know, sometimes they're asked to do things that they normally wouldn't do, but they got no issue doing it because, hey, you know, that fucking the ends justifies the means. But it is what it is, dude. Like, it's been in society, it's been ingrained in like human nature. Like, it's just, there were sex slaves, dude. Like, it to me, like, it's nothing new. It's like the only thing that's like different about this whole situation now, besides the internet, is the fact it's like it involves money. It involves people going out there, like, they're either gonna, you know, throw somebody on the bus just so they can get their fucking name out there, like some quick little fucking 5 minutes fucking spotlight or whatever, or, you know, they're gonna try and get some kind of money, some kind of blackmail, some kind of bribery. There's always some kind of like little fucking game when it comes to people's lives, but that's one of the like the tools that can be used against it. So I don't know, it's nothing new to me. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know, one more little tidbit from the internet that I kind of just want to throw in today's show that kind of chapped my ass the last 2 weeks was I seen a video of this white woman who has turned herself black, and they had her on a television show, and the host of the show was kind of, you know, getting on her, and I kind of felt he had the right to do so. He said, you know what, just because you change your skin color, your hair, it doesn't mean you're black, and this woman didn't get it. You know, he said it's heritage, it's pride, it's heart, it's not something you can change yourself into. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen the interview that I'm talking about, but if you have, what's your take, Travis Hyland?
I mean, you know, it's the same thing to me, and I know that this is probably going to offend some people, but it's the same thing to me as a lot of the transgender issues we have. You know, you could say what you want. If they dig up Caitlyn Jenner's bones in a million years and they do a DNA test, they're going to find out that that's a man because it has an XY chromosome. You know, so it's, I don't know. I really think that it comes from this entire, you know, the PC culture, the nobody can bully anybody, and that my feelings mean more than the actual reality of the world around them, man. It's people who are just trying to, you know, they're trying to push the envelope as far as they can. You know, I mean, if you look even in Canada, man, Canada has something now like 72 recognized genders. I mean, it's literally, at this point, it's just bureaucracy and people who are, I think, trolling and fucking around and seeing what kind of laws that they can get passed by bitching enough. You know, I mean, you can call yourself a foxkin or a fairykin, or, you know, you can call yourself whatever you want, but it doesn't change the objective reality around us. And with the internet and with social media, people are getting so out of touch with reality and out of touch with the physical being and people around them in real, you know, heart-to-heart social circles. And it just it's literally imagination that's running out of control.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, I'm like I said, and I'll say it time and time again, I'm an old man, so when I look at things a little bit different in life. And I don't know, the internet... I think MF is right. I think MF is a man that's wise among his years, and he doesn't spend too much time on the internet. And, you know, we've kind of correlated thoughts with each other back and forth. And, you know, I kind of took some time away from the internet. And, you know, honestly, I think it was justifiable. And I think I found myself not being so inept to pick up my phone every 10 minutes and jump on the internet, because every time I did see something that was just really asinine and really made no sense. You know, you talk about, you know, gender identity and reassignment. One day when I was in the hospital and I had picked up the phone and got on the internet, I watched a video out of Brazil of this young boy who was celebrating a birthday, and it was his rite of passage on whether he wants to be a homosexual or a normal man in life, and it was widely accepted over there. And I just found myself just going, what the hell is going on with this shit? You know, MF, when you see stuff like that, what does it do to you? I mean, you're younger than me, but you're wise among your years, so this kind of shit's throwing me sideways, bro.
Dude, you can't hear my reaction right now. Like, I'm fucking dying. That's comedy to me. Dude, I don't know. I mean, shit's crazy like that, dude. Depending on, like, what culture is, like, different people view things differently. You know, like, you can look at religion, you can look at culture, even fucking, you know, demographic. Dude, like, where we're from, it has an effect on, like, our personalities. Like, as people is who we are. Like, even, like, you know, for example, like you. Like, you grew up in California, but I'm sure that you moving over to the Midwest, certain things have rubbed off on you, and you've kind of changed your behavior or certain things because what worked over, you know, here don't work over there. But that's just the way things go. But, I mean, as far as, like, people get saying, like, oh, here's your right to pass, like, you get to pick or choose, fucking, you know, like, do you want to be gay? Do you want to be straight? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? It's like, motherfucker, it's like, I just don't get how people could deny reality so much. You know what I mean? It's like Travis and I always talk about it. Your frontal cortex doesn't fully develop until you're 25. So in our opinion, that's like, at that point is the only time where you really start to think logically. You start seeing things for what they really are. But then you get people that they're influenced by, you know, like TV, music, sports, whatever it is. They're influenced by something where they want to be a part of it. So they'd rather deny who they are, what they are, how they are, you know, the reality of the situation, just so they can feel accepted for being a part of something. It's like we always talk about tribalism, and we're completely disconnected from that because of the internet. And, you know, there's a lot of different factors on that, but we've lost that sense of, like, of human connection, you know what I mean? Like, between talking, interacting, like, people have just fucking lost it, dude. Like, I saw this quote a couple months back where he was talking about, you know, before we would use technology to escape reality, and now we use reality to escape technology. It's fucking crazy, dude, but that's just the way it is. So, you know, that's why, dude, I've kind of tuned off the internet and other things, but it's like, as far as, like, internet, dude, I use it to learn. You know, I constantly want to learn things. I was, like, literally, like, what I do. You know, if I'm not learning, I'm not growing. And it's like, I get bored, dude. Like, I'll learn something, I'll excel at it, and then it's like, I want to learn more. You know, I call it selfish, call it whatever it is, but it's the internet's a tool that can be used as anything. Yeah, you know, it's like a weapon. It can be used as anything that's there. So you get these people that are just, they're brainwashed to the point to where, you know, their whole life they saw commercials on TV that was subtly just, you know, subconsciously influencing people. That's why now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, do you want to be gay? Do you want to be straight? I hella got off topic and back on. But, you know, it's all influential, dude, and that's why I turned that shit off, because to me it's all a distraction, TV, sports, the internet. It's everything is a distraction there. Although it could be used for something good, unfortunately it's falling to the other side.
Yeah, you know, but I want to take it back even a little bit further, even before the internet became this mass social highway that everybody, you know, kind of just depends on a daily basis. It's like, you know, it makes you wonder who's even fucking working, pardon my language. But, you know, I saw a documentary, oh, it's probably been 10 years now, and it was done out of L.A., Los Angeles, California, and it was a documentary on gang members. And, you know, they had asked this. They asked this gang member, does he consider himself homosexual? And it just had me rolling, bro, because, you know, the mindset of gangbangers is just something that blows my mind. What's that?
You talking about the dude with the fucking rainbow grill? Like, he has his full blown got rainbow, and he got 69 tattooed all over him.
Yeah. It just blows my mind, dude. But, you know, it's like, how can these gang members think that, you know, the one guy they asked a question, you know, they asked him, you know, why don't you think you're gay? You know, you let another gentleman, you know, perform oral sex on you. You have, you know, anal sex with him. What makes you think you're not gay? He says, because I'm not touching him. I'm not giving him oral sex. You're still gay, dude. you're still a homosexual in my eyes. I mean, And I'm seeing more and more of this play out. The reason I brought this up, because I'm seeing more and more of this play out on the internet, You know, and I'm 100%. If you're gay or whatever, hey, do your thing. That's behind your door. You know, more power to you. I ain't gonna hate you for it. It isn't my business. It's just not my lifestyle. But to see the way social media is corrupting young individuals, you know, I think there needs to be a mindset in the parents and in their thoughts that, you know, what age would be correct to allow your child to engage in this type of activity or see this type of news or post being shared on the internet. Now, you guys are both in the sport aspect of life. You know, you guys are in a life that is truly a step above the norm. When you look at kids on social media, where do you think the line needs to be drawn?
Dude, I think it's fucking a lot of people. I think there should be a fucking test as far as mentality. You know, psychologically, can you fucking handle it? Because real shit, I don't think it really depends on age, dude. I think it depends on fucking the people just in general. Because how many adults are back on there, like, you know, going through their midlife crisis and, like, grown-ass fucking women, dude, just doing nothing but showing their fucking titties off, and it's like they're married, and, like, what type of example are you showing to your kids? Like, that type of shit's cool. And there's all types of parents that are doing shit like that, dude. Like, I don't get it just in general. Like, I can understand, like, if you were doing it as a business, you know, maybe you use yourself for fucking marketing. Maybe you use yourself for business. Some people do that, dude, modeling fucking, you know, videos. Like, a lot of shit is done to, like, better them, like, you know, some kind of a fucking career, be that whatever it is. But it's like for people that just do it just to do it, you know, like, you're not celebrity status. You're not even, like, lightweight fucking, what do you call it? Like, what would we call it? Social status.
Like Travis?
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? To where it's like we're some public figures. There you go. Some kind of like lightweight public figure. But as people just do this shit to do it because they want the attention, they want the validation. It's like there was Travis actually talked about it one time. Like there's a chemical that like gets released in your brain every time you see like a like or like somebody talks to you. It's like engaging dopamine. It is. It's like a drug to where they feel like they have to go on there. And the more they get, the more hooked they get onto it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're either doing it as a drug or you're doing it as a business. But either way, dude, the shit's fucking addicting. So I don't really think like an age, like how are you going to tell, you know, these kids not to do it as you're sitting there doing it yourselves, you know, and parents being in control of shit. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't really think there is an answer outside of just getting rid of it just in general.
And on top of that, I mean, you know how I feel, Don. I don't think 16-year-old kids should be driving. I don't think I don't even really think you should be able to be 21 and drinking, man. I think that we give, you know, kids who do not have a fully developed brain far too much, you know, responsibility in terms of driving vehicles or drinking. Yeah, freedom. That would be the exact word. You know, until you've proven that you're a capable, well-thought-out, broad-minded person, you know, until you've had some actual life experience outside of this fucking make-believe and broken education system we have, you know, kids need real life experience, man. And that kind of, to bring it back around to the whole coming of age ceremony, I think that that's one of the biggest things that we're missing in this country. You know, I think that when kids do need to become 16, they don't need a driver's license. They need to go out in the woods by themselves for fucking 3 days and they need to kill a bear. They need to be cold. They need to be hungry. They need to struggle and know that they're not made out of glass and that they can adapt. And no matter what situation comes, they can get through it because they've been through a hard situation before. You know, we can't fucking nerf the world and give out participation trophies because that's not the way the world is.
You know, I have to agree with you. You know, it makes a lot of sense. See, that's one thing I love about doing the show is, you know, we start off on some pretty strange shit sometimes. But, you know, by the end of the show, we always end up with a well-equated message or thought. And that's one thing I love this show for because, you know, we're people from the fight world that just sit down and we think about it, we speak about our thoughts. And that's something that you just don't get on every radio show, and I think that's what makes this one a little bit different. And, you know, I wish, if you're out there listening, you know, the green room is open. You can ask a question. You know, I apologize for not being on for the last 3 weeks, but, you know, life is such, and you got to move forward. But, you know, first and foremost, before we go any further, you know, how was the holidays for you guys? How was it out there in California and spending time with your family over Thanksgiving and, you know, what did it mean to you guys walking away from it and now going back to regular life?
I mean, man, it's always beautiful to see the family. But, you know, this year for me was even a little bit odd. You know, I had a couple of bigger family get-togethers, you know, and I guess I'm just crazy or something, but I just kind of – I noticed a lot more things than I used to just in the way kind of people naturally work together, you know. If you have – you know, maybe five or six people in a room, they're usually all sitting having a group discussion. You know, you get up to like 10 people, and they almost always break off into two or three select groups, or people will do this or that. So, you know, it's, I don't know, man. I've just, it's amazing for me to see all, you know, my family and everyone who comes up, and that's great. But I don't know. I think I'm going a little crazy, Dom, because I notice weird things that I didn't used to notice, just kind of about the way people are. And the weirdest thing to me is, like, if it isn't something structured, like, hey, dinner is at 4 o'clock and we're all going to sit down, even my family, man, I got 20 people, 17 of them are on their phones. It's a weird, weird thing now.
Yeah, there's just no structure, you know, in life anymore. You know, I didn't do anything tremendous. Of course, I got out of the hospital the day before Thanksgiving, and so I had a great dinner, and that was about it. But, you know, there is a comment in there, and I wasn't going to touch on it, but since, you know, they went ahead and put a comment in there, I'm going to go ahead and touch on it for a minute. First and foremost, we're not gay bashing. Second of all, I'm not homophobic. And, you know, my whole thought perception on where I was going with the show is I think people are allowing kids to make adult decisions in life. And, you know, you look at all this gender bull crap, and I think that there is no structure to the family anymore, and these young kids are picking up what they see on social media. But I'm no way homophobic, you know, so you can straight up kiss my ass. The thing of it is I just want to see America, you know, the children, at least the youth, given a fair opportunity to decide where they want to be in life. You know, these two gentlemen on the show with me today both know that I'm not a homophobe and I'm not gay bashing. You know, when you see hateful comments like that, I think it's better to educate the person on where we're going. And MF, I think you're really good at structuring comments.
I would let me talk on that, on the comment. You know, we're not gay bashing. It's just merely pointing out the fact is that children should not be able to make decisions like that for themselves until their brain fully develops. I'm like, I got friends that are gay, and personally, I don't even like the term gay. So I'm like, your preference of whether you like this type of person, that's you. I'm not even mad at that. You know, like, it is what it is. I prefer people to be themselves. If that's your preference, that's your preference. That doesn't affect how I see you or how any type of relationship that we're ever going to have is going to affect me. So it's like, gay is gay. It's a term, dude. It's like, it's throwing people in some kind of category, and I don't fucking particularly like that in general, whether they're gay, white, black, whatever. We're all fucking people. You know, I mean, people like what people like. It's like trying to categorize it. No, I'm like, but I can see it because Don's an asshole and he kind of talks like it sometimes. So I can see how it would come off that way. You know, and we do apologize. I do apologize because that motherfucker. but anyway, we're definitely not gay bashing.
And just to jump in real quick here, all of my gay friends, if you ever ask them, it's not a choice. You know, from every gay person I've ever talked to, the same way that I'm straight is not a choice. Being gay, if you talk to any gay person, isn't a choice. So to present it to children in that sort of a way, a 12-year-old child, and you're going to say that you have a choice whether or not to be this, or a choice to whether or not you want to take hormones as a 12-year-old boy to suppress your puberty so you can live life as a woman? Like, that is fucking craziness to me, and that is the definition of child abuse. You're giving your kid harmful hormones to stop his puberty because he thinks he wants to be a girl, even though he could just be a 12-year-old gay boy. You know, there are a million different factors that haven't developed yet, and that's why it's ridiculous to let a child make an adult decision.
Thank you. You know, if we take a step back to yesterday, I did a show yesterday, and the fighter that I had on is gay, and I let them openly speak about, you know, getting married to another female and having a child down the road, and hell, half the people I know in the sport lead a homosexual lifestyle. So first thing, I'm not gay bashing, and MF, you're being a little rude or a little constrictive on me, thinking that I guess I could correlate things in a construing manner sometimes, but I'm just more concerned about the kids, man. What you do behind your own door is your own business, man. What you love in life is your own business. More power to you. You know, it doesn't affect my life, you know. And like MF said, you know, we're just people. You know, so at the end of the day, whatever makes you happy might not make me happy, but it doesn't mean I like you nonetheless, you know. And so whatever on the comment, you know, it is what it is. You know, I kind of want to jump back up in the sport just a little bit, you know. And actually, we could touch on that aspect of it. You know, I've learned over the years, the 12 years that I've done radio, that from my days with ABC, NBC, and CBS, that things have really changed. And I've had to correlate my show because of the outcoming of people's attitudes and philosophies in life. And I've allowed such shows because I believe that everybody has a voice. And I've never structured my show to belittle any aspect of that in life. I mean, you two gentlemen have heard my show before. Travis, I think you've even been on my show before on the MMA show. What are your thoughts on the way I correlate my show towards society?
Oh, shit, man. Well, I mean, I think like all things, you know, we have a good understanding of how to kind of try and see both sides of it, you know. I think that's one of the things that this sport has taught me, you know, more than anything. Like, fighting is fucking real. And it grounds you in reality no matter how much you want to avoid it. You know, once that cage door closes, you're going to be in the moment and all your other problems go away. You know, so, I mean, I think we do a good job of keeping an open mind. And I also think it's good to, you know, discuss things like this, like the things that's going on in society, like the things that are going on in gender, like the things that are going on in sport, because this is the only way that, you know, some people are ever going to hear these ideas. And, you know, maybe we can hope open some minds.
You know, I agree with you because that's one thing I love about doing live shows is, you know, it's just our thoughts. It's not society's impression. It's not, you know, anybody else's thoughts but our own. And, you know, everybody says we're entitled to our own opinion. And that's our show is just basically based on our own opinion and thought. You know, MF, you've been in the sport a while, and you've created quite a name for yourself in what you do. You know, we found that out in the early days, how much you're respected in life. You know, moving forward in the sport, how would you say that you've had to change the aspect of who you are to correlate with society and the way things are going?
Man,
not at all.
Yeah, you asked me some fucking not easy questions. But, a lot of it is just kind of being in the right place at the wrong time and then doing the wrong thing, but somehow going down the right path as crazy, almost like a paradox, dude. It's like for everything well I've done or everything good I've done something equally as stupid or fucked up. You know, it's caused me some troubles, but it's also gotten me to places like it's helped me grow, whether it be good, whether it be bad, even though the sport, dude, fucking – once my head got screwed up, like, I wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, I walked away from the gym. I walked away from everything. I wanted nothing to do with it. But, you know, I got myself into some fucking trouble. I had to go back to the gym. And then all of a sudden, this gradually just grew to the point to where we are now. So it's life in general is kind of crazy. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of fact of living and just can you make the best of it or are you going to blame other people? And I think that's the main thing is, like, once I actually owned up for everything I did, whether it was good or bad, life grew, and then once I realized that it wasn't about me, life opened up. So it was like once I was growing, then finally it opened up, and it's got me to where I am now, so I'm thankful for it, whether it be good or bad.
I can dig it. You know, I love the aspect of what we do here, you know, because it shows, you know, a little insight to who we are, and we're not perfect. We've never claimed to be, and that's why I like the open forum style of the show. You know, Travis, you're one individual that has both you guys have truly taught me a lot in life. I look at you two, you know, gentlemen, because you're considerably younger than me, but at the same time, I consider you my equal because the knowledge that you guys have both ascertained in life and have in your walk. You know, what is it about the young Travis Hyland that has allowed him to be so focused on critiques and life's theories and certain aspects that others your age aren't even drawn to?
Man, it's all the fuck-ups. It's all the hardships. You know, it's all the times that I didn't listen to anybody and I made the fucking mistake and learned the lesson. You know, it's so funny because, you know, in life we always, like take your kids, for example. You want to keep your kids away from everything hard and difficult. You want them to have everything that you didn't have. You don't want them to struggle. But the most valuable things in my life have been the struggle in every single way, shape, or form. I have made no improvements on myself as a person when I'm laying in a fucking Tempur-Pedic mattress, dude. When I'm warm, sitting at home, you know, not shit is getting done. The only time you learn is when you suffer, is when you have to go through it, you know. And I think that the younger generation now, they have this gift of being able to learn from people like you and be able to learn from all the stupid fucking people on the internet. And be able to use the internet like the way it should be, you know, having access to all the world's information in your pocket. And, you know, like MF said, I have learned more things from fucking YouTube than I ever did in my entire fucking high school and grade school career, you know, outside of actually learning my ABCs. And it just, I really think that the world is getting far too easy, you know. Human beings need that struggle. We need to go out. We need to hunt for our food. We need to have that connection where we have to rely on one another. And you know, we're missing it. We're missing it so, so bad. And it's going away, and it's just getting farther and farther and farther away. And the problem is most people are, you know, they're forgetting this. The kids that are growing up now are going to have absolutely no idea the real world we're talking about, Don. You know, I have a three-year-old niece, man, and she uses the fucking iPad. She knows how to get into it, open it up, play games. You know, she's never going to know a world without all of that information at her fingertips. But the problem is we're not teaching these children how to use that information. We're not teaching them how to think openly and, you know, be good, open, honest, you know, open-minded people.
I think you're right, you know, because you look back at, and I always hate going back and using this as a reference, but you look back at when I was a child growing up, I mean, black and white television was the hip thing. So, I mean, you know, eventually color TV came around, and, you know, that was a shit. Not everybody in the neighborhood can afford, a color TV back then. So when a person had it, everybody would be over at their house. And times were simpler, you know. But I kind of want to pick on MF today because I haven't done a show with him in 3 weeks, you know. I'm going to create a segment in the show called MF Beck's Random Thoughts. So if I could put MF Beck on the spot and get you to come up with a random thought for society each and every week, what would be that random thought starting today?
Reality. Literally, fucking reality. Like how what Travis is saying, what you're saying, it's, as we grow, as we evolve, people, we somehow get pulled back into what's familiar to us, because when you think about, like, how we grow, like, as far as, like, even looking at technology, right, how fast it's grown, it's like you're taking in too much information too fast, and we don't really know what the fucking do with it, you know. So, but at the same time, it's like, so we go back, and we try to relate to something that's normal to us, something that we're used to, something that's comfortable. Like, you always kind of go back to the past. Like, I kind of go to the past. It's like, I think a lot of the shit in the 90s was better than fucking anything else. You can kiss my ass. But that's just the way it goes, because that's familiar to me. It's like nostalgia, you know what I mean? But it's one thing that I was blessed with was, like, the ability to adapt to every single, like, circumstance. As things grow, I grow with it. I don't stay stagnant with, like, trying to be stuck in anything. Like, technology is here, so I'm trying to figure out the best way to use it to benefit us as a group, us as a whole, us as a community, you know what I mean? Like, if nobody else is going to do it, then fucking somebody's got to. But I do it because, on a selfish reason, that's what I like to do. But you have to adapt it as the times come. As the times change, you have to adapt. Just like technology, the iPhone 1 is fucking obsolete for a reason right now. Like, why would you go back to, you know, saying, like, oh, remember how it used to work like this and how it used to work like this? It's like, yeah, dude, now that thing is like one button. Now you don't even got to use a motherfucking button. You know, it's just things get easier and people they get used to things happening quickly. They lose the actual learning process, letting things sink in, like struggling, being shitty at something. Learning how to learn is one of the most forgotten skills in today's society. And it's the most important thing, you know. I know a lot of people and a lot of younger people who they've had everything given to them their entire life, and they've never learned how to struggle and how to become great at something. And if you don't know how to sit down and go, you know what, I don't know how to fucking draw anything, so I'm going to sit here and draw shitty stick figures until I can paint the Mona Lisa, you know, people are forgetting they don't know how to learn anything anymore. And that has a catastrophic effect on society.
Yeah, you know, I think, man, it's so right on with a thought of that I have of my own life, because, you know, I went to military school. I graduated at 16 with honors. I came back to California to get, so what the fuck do you want from me, from my mother? And, you know, ended up living in my car. I was homeless, and, you know, I had to make a decision in life. You know, do I sit and feel sorry for myself, or do I get up and find a way to live, find a way to take care of myself, because nobody else was going to do it for me? And, you know, I found myself one day sitting on a stoop of an apartment building or a hotel or something, I forget what it was, and a gentleman had walked by and offered me a job. And not only did he offer me a job, he offered me a place to live, and I thought the guy was full of shit. But, you know, I didn't have any choice in life. I needed to create a living. I needed to start my life. And just so happens this man wasn't full of shit. He happened to own one of the largest plumbing companies, commercial plumbing companies, that did hospital design in San Diego, and he offered me a job, and I went to work for this individual. And, you know, sure to his word, he gave me a place to stay, he gave me a job, and I realized at a young age that nothing was going to be handed to me, that everything that I've ever had in life I was just going to have to work for. You know, the house that I sit in now, the sport gave me, I earned it through the sport. You know, the car that I drive is paid off, but I did that through my, you know, my work with the sport and other aspects of life. You know, one thing I think society is missing is you have to own up. And, you know, I don't think that theory is allowed anymore in life. You know, I don't think a person is forced to go out there on their own, like you were saying, Travis, and make those mistakes, learn from them, and gain the knowledge and be able to move forward, but at a much more integrated rate with more, how would you say it, knowledge. You know, expanding that knowledge base that we're all equally given. You know, I think that is the biggest point of the show today, is the knowledge base guideline that we are given as a human being is being dwindled away by the ease of access of the internet. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Travis?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. And I think one more thing that the internet's doing that people are not used to is, you know, thank God everybody didn't have a camera in their pocket when I was growing up, because we would not be having this fucking conversation. I would probably be locked into a cage or a fucking mental asylum somewhere, man. You know, I mean, kids today, dude, I know babies with Facebooks. I know people who take their newborn children and make a Facebook for them. And now their mistakes are everlasting. You know, now their mistakes are recorded and played over on YouTube for millions to see forever. You know, and I think that's one of the harmful aspects of this, is you're not allowed to make those fuck-ups and mistakes, and you're not allowed to learn from them and move on. You know, I mean, that's even bullying today is far worse than it ever was, and it's a problem. Because now the bullies are at home with you every time you log on to the internet. And now if a bully walks over and knocks you out in the cafeteria, there's 70 different angles of it, and you got to see it in fucking slow motion every day by your peers. You know, it's a fucked up world we're living in.
Yeah, and then they wonder why society, you know, the suicide rate is outrageous. You know, you bring me to a point that, God, I had forgot about it. Well, I was in the hospital. I had a great big window in my room, and you could see down. I was 9 floors up, and this individual had a seizure out there on the sidewalk. And the angle that it looked like they had hurt themselves when they fell. But yet, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, okay, this person's going to stop. This person's going to – not one fucking person stopped to help this individual. I had to go to the charge nurse and get the doctor for them to come look out the window and call the CERT team. Well, it's what they call the CERT team. I guess if somebody gets hurt on their property, they call and these people go out and help them. it took them to come out there before anybody even laid a hand. I just sat there and watched person after person, and the doctor was sitting there with me. And he said, you know what, I cannot believe people today. He says, not one person stopped to check on this individual and see if they were all right. Do you think that
John,
that is...
I guarantee you somebody has a fucking video of it on Facebook, though.
I guarantee you
if you were to search the dark recesses of Facebook, somebody has a fucking video out their car window of them taking a video of it and not doing shit.
And that just fucking disgusts me. I mean, I'm sorry, but it just, you know, how can we as human beings allow such travesties to happen and be more inept to fucking video it than to do something about it? MF?
Yeah, that's a simple answer right there. Like, look at it this way, and it's going through an experience in life, right? Even say, like, a good experience, something they like, something that brings them joy. At least 80% of the people that are out there are going to whip out their phone and try and capture that fucking memory, right? Me, rather than spending time pulling my phone out trying to do all that shit, I enjoy the moment in its entirety through my experience. You know what I mean? It's something that I got to enjoy. And I think that's a difference. People lose that connection by going on social media and going on the internet and going on everything else. It's like you see somebody going down, most people's reaction is to go straight to the phone. And then I'll add that on top of everybody's probably got it under their assumption that, oh, somebody else will help them. Oh, somebody else will help them. Oh, somebody else will help them. That's the mentality, dude, and that's just the way it goes. Some people are going to be in action, and that action is going to be on their phone. So are you going to live the moment for what it is, or are you going to live the moment through your phone?
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted to get back to and bring this show kind of full circle before we change the subject here a little bit. You know, that's one thing that I've learned through you, and, you know, I used to be constantly on my phone and constantly looking and this and that. And when I, you know, I had this herniated disc and ruptured disc and all this crap happened to me, it kind of made you kind of stand out for a little bit, you know. I was like, fuck it, I don't even care, you know, I'm hurting so bad, I don't even care. And you know what, it was the wisest decision that I think I even made, because now I have a different outlook on social media and its whole. And you know, I've always felt that it was a necessity for me to conduct business and this and that, but you know what, in reality it isn't, because just as many people text me then concurred with me on social media, just as many people came to visit me in the hospital as I would expect to get likes on Facebook. So, you know, I realized that my life could be an okay place without social, you know, media or the internet altogether for, you know, vast periods of time. I realized that there is still some type of old school correlation between me and my colleagues that has truly just left me, you know, realizing that you do have good points when you do make them. But I kind of want to jump on a different subject, because I want to get your guys' thoughts. Both of you know me quite well. But, you know, walking away from the doctor today, you know, I asked the doctor one question, and it's the only fucking question that mattered to me. And I told the doctor, I said, you know, I signed to shoot a fight on December 8th, and, you know, I know what the other doctor said, but I want to get your take on what you think about me shooting December 8th. And the doctor looked at me and said, absolutely not. I said, I don't even think you should be driving right now. And I'm looking at the doctor like, well, first of all, I'm 51 years old, and if I feel I can do it, I'm going to do it. But, you know, in the hours, you know, following this, you know, it's kind of just kind of went back and forth in my head. But come December 8th, what if I can't do this anymore? What if I can't? And I know what if is a hypothetical situation, but what if my career is over? And I find myself kind of perplexed, because this is truly all I know. You know, it's all I've ever done. My creativity, my thoughts are making others shine, giving other memories. And if I can't do that in life anymore, I'm not sure where I'll end up, you know, in thought. So you guys both know me. Do you think that no matter what, I should fight through whatever adversity comes my way and continue to do as much as I can, or do you think I should heed the doctor's advice and, you know, kind of step away for a while?
Number one, you're fishing for compliments, but I love you for it. Number two.
No, I'm not.
Number two, life is what it is, my brother. You know, if that actually comes to, like, fruition, if you can no longer go out and shoot fights anymore, in my opinion, that's just freeing you up to do something else. You know, there's something else that's in store for you. And in order to do that, you have to give something of equal value in return. So that would be giving up, you know, the fights to do something else, be that whatever it is. Yeah, equivalent exchange. Thank you. Gracias. But, you know, and on another point on top of that, dude, it's what I've said before. The story changes. It's no longer a chapter. Now it's a different story. You know, I mean, the characters change. The scenario changes. Like, it just all changes. It's growth. You know, you got to give something up in order to get something else in return.
Well, see, you know, in the last few hours, I've kind of been on that same page, and I just figured, well, if I can't shoot anymore, I'll just make my radio show that much better. You know, I'll give that much more of myself to the show and create a much bigger platform than what I have in the past and, you know, exploit that avenue of life. You know, it's just hard because, you know, you take something that I've done for 21 years and, you know, to have somebody look at you and say, you can't do this anymore. It's just that it's not a thought that sits well with me. And I wasn't fishing for compliments, motherfucker. I was just looking for your guys' thoughts because, you know, I do value your thoughts. You know, I don't look to very many people in life, you know, and ask them, you know, very articulated questions like I do you both. But the thing of it is I don't know, it's kind of just to pick me up and drop me in another place. But I get your analogy to just, you know, pick up and move on and go whatever direction my life will lead me. You know, Travis, it's a new chapter. We don't know that yet.
Not a chapter. It's a story. You're writing another book.
I like that. Time to write another book. You know, you guys have been through some changes there. You know, what is it like for a group to be able to pick up and still inspire and exist as a whole, even though they've had some drastic changes in your everyday elk course?
I mean, you know, like we talked about earlier, Don, these times of struggle, man, and these times of having to give something up, you know, like a 21-year career that you've had, you know, it's a blessing. It really is a blessing in disguise, man, because now you are free to focus on the things that you need to focus on, you know, and obviously you're being pulled in a different way. I mean, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put this shit out on the airwaves so it's out here forever, but you need to focus on getting your health in order, you need to get your diet in order, and you need to get some motherfucking yoga, my friend. All right, there's obviously a reason that you're going through the things that you're going through and seeing, you know, feeling the way that you are. And that's because right now you got to take some time and you got to focus on yourself, man. And we can refocus, you know, all of your shooting and all your career. Like we said, dog, it's almost 2018. Technology is here. We're going to have you fucking shooting fights in VR soon, man. You just wait. But I need you to get your fucking health in order first so we can keep this train rolling.
I feel you there, you know. Hey, I'm taking it easy, bro. I'm taking it easy, you know. It's every day at a time. You know, one thing I kind of want to, and I hate bringing up the past, but I kind of want to touch on a little bit because, you know, it has to evolve with friendship. And this is another thing that I've correlated from the Misfits of Gold. That I've correlated from the Misfits of Gold.
No need to give that relevance. Ain't no need.
You don't even know where I'm going.
Oh, motherfucker. I think he does. I think I do.
I think he does, too. But I'm just fucking with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There ain't no need to give that shit relevance no more. That situation's dead and gone. It's a new story, my brother.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I think we'll go ahead and bypass on that topic. You know, I kind of want to jump back on Sam here for a minute before we kind of wrap things up here. You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to give MF a little bit of a bad time because you California boys can't handle the cold. But, you know, I think it'll be
great.
You have
a problem with that. Why do you think we live out here?
Oh, man. But, you know, I think it's going to be tremendous come, you know, December to be finally able to see, you know, not only, you know, meet with you guys face-to-face, but to be able to see Sam Toomer walk into the octagon and prove to the world he is the true warrior that he is. You know, what does this fight mean for the Misfits of Gold moving forward into December and the next chapter of Sam Toomer's life?
Well, you got to ask him shit like that. He's our beacon of hope, bro. He's our fucking light. I've said it numerous fucking times, but he's leading the charge in the fight world. You know, he's showing people that you could be you and that you could still prosper. And, like, being around the right people is just – when there's no egos involved, and it's literally just – it's that tribe mentality. Everybody's trying to help everybody do things. But he's the one that's going to be, you know, leading the way. He's our fucking – he's our guiding light, man. He's like the fucking hope.
He's the great white hope. You know, I really love the dude.
Fucking hope. Fucking hope. He is our light. Light.
You know, Travis, he's your comrade in arms. You know, he's your brother. You know, MF is going to speak MF terminology. But, you know, we all have our own opinion. What does it mean to you to see a brother be able to step up to the forefront?
Man, you know, it's one of those things where it's one moment in time, one 15-minute segment, but it's not. It's 28, 29, 30 years of hard fucking work, you know, and it's finally – it's just great to see him finally get the recognition that he deserves, you know, and to be able to go out there and shut this dude the fuck down and let everybody know what's really good.
Good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, man. I'm just stoked, man. I can't wait to sit down and finally break bread with you guys and to
as long as you
to...
check your fingernails, motherfucker, it's all good.
Hey, I already did, bitch. I already did. So, see, one thing you got to understand, you know, and you if you actually meet any real photographer, we actually do. Some of us let our fingernails grow just a little bit because, for one thing, you don't want to drop your camera on a fighter's head when they get rammed up against the cage in front of you and you're shooting down at them. You know, there's certain aspects. What's that?
You go viral.
Yeah, who gives a fuck about going viral, bro? I care about if I drop a 3-pound camera on a dude's head and crack his head open in the middle of a fight. I mean, but we do that because it allows us to grip our camera a little bit better, you know. And, you know,
some people
might not understand.
Working out.
Oh, here we go. We're going to clown on Don for the last 8 minutes of the show. Is that what we're going to do?
Hey, it's been too long, Don. We got a lot of saved up shit.
Oh, yeah. We actually been kind of fucking easy on you today.
We got to break you in easy.
But definitely, them little comments about the butts earlier, you did say the same thing like 3 times. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe you're feeling a little frisky today.
Listen to this shit, man.
Like sandpaper fucking toilet paper.
Man, listen, man. You know what? I'll go ahead and take it because I'm the one that I'm the one that's
like
been showing last week.
It looks like your neck. It's probably a texture you wipe with.
Don't even take it there, white boy. Don't even
that's
take it there.
Oh, Beacon from Sesame Street knows.
Cyberbullying.
No, but on the real, man. You know.
God, motherfucker.
Look, he's still going. It's okay, man. You can sow your wild oats, man. I'll let you feel like the man you think you are.
I was just feeling myself. You know, nobody loves me like me, and I definitely crack myself up sometimes. So that was just to entertain myself. You just have to be the subject. Or the topic of the subject.
Oh, yeah. But on the real, what does it mean to you guys? I mean, I love this show, so, you know, and my sponsors love it, you know, and that's really all that matters to me. I mean, I think this show in its entirety, you know, if you put it out there and listen to all the shows back to back, I think you'll take a relative, you know, pure mindset on where we're coming from and what our thoughts are. And that is just creating a better place and to be able to give an open-minded thought to people who would never have thought that direction before, and maybe open some minds, change a few views, and maybe, you know, allow people to see life in a different light, you know, and that's what I think this show does, and I love that aspect of it. You know, what does it do for you, Travis?
You know, like everything you just said, man, and it allows us to be able to, you know, there's so much isolationism now, especially with social media. You know, that's another thing that's growing. You know, we might keep harping on it, but it's isolating people. And people are isolated now more than ever, even though there's more connectivity and there's more people around than ever, you know. So it'll allow someone to tune in this and realize that, hey, I'm not crazy, you know. I might have crazy thoughts, but that doesn't make me crazy. And if I start learning and I start progressing, you know, as a person, that's really the only thing that matters. And that's the thing that brings true, true joy. You know, you look at, if you look at video games nowadays, like things like World of Warcraft, all that video game is doing and that has people literally addicted to it is, like we've said with Facebook, like it's literally hijacking your brain and giving you dopamine hits for accomplishing tasks and learning skills and completing quests, and you get to upgrade your shit and you always get new shit and it's getting more and more intense and complex. And if you think about it, that's what life is supposed to be, and that's what life was for 200,000 years when people were in tribes. Guess what? I got to go build a fucking house, and today I got to go cut some firewood, and today I got to go hunt, you know, and people have used technology to be able to hijack our primal hardwiring, and it's just making people more and more isolated.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, MF, what's your final thought for today's show?
Say, man, it's, you know, we always hashtag it, but it's the mind of a misfit. That's the whole point behind it. You know, it's showing things from many viewpoints, but at the same time, like, we all work together, you know, like it's like a fine-tuned machine, like it all works, but it's having all these different opinions to where it's, you know, like somebody feels in the gap somewhere. There's no pride, there's no ego, you know. So as what it is, it's a mind of a misfit. We've all kind of been there, and it's a different viewpoint, so it's cool to get our thoughts out there, you know, whether people like them, dislike them, you know. And I appreciate the opportunity you give us to be able to, you know, kind of like give our thoughts out to people, kind of let them know that they're not alone. There are people that are just as crazy as you. It's just, I don't think we're crazy. I just think we're more attuned to reality.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of weird. I'll touch on the show, you know, why I did it to begin with. It was almost like I didn't even second guess it. It was almost just like something that felt a necessity. You know, it was something that I've never done before. It was something that, once I, you know, got to know you guys, that I felt it was something I needed to do, something I wanted to do. And now, I'll be honest with you, I look more forward to this show than I do any of my other shows week in and week out. So with that being said, you know, I you thank me. It's I that needs to thank you, because you guys come on here each and every week and expose yourself to a random thought. You know, you never know who's listening, and you don't know what the outcome could be from each and every show. You know, you don't know how people are going to take it. So you expose your guys', you know, self and your lifestyle on the show, and that's a huge credit, because a lot of people don't have the balls to do that, you know. So I commend you, and I thank you guys for joining me week in and week out in that aspect. But right now I'm going to hand the microphone over to Travis Hyland. Any sponsors, any friends, family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
I mean, Shout out to Sam Toomer, as always. He's fighting December 15th, LFA,
yes,
you know, so everybody tune into that. And on top of that, you know, we harp about the younger generation and so much on this show, but I'll leave one thought. You know, I found a new band that I think everybody should check out. Their lead singer is 19 years old, but if you close your eyes, you guys will hear fucking Led Zeppelin. You guys are badass. Their name is Greta Van Fleet, and they give me hope for new music.
Cool. Ooh. MF, microphone is yours, my brother.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. I like to ramble on sometimes, but how it's with us, we own ourselves. That's why we're able to do it. We can come on here and talk about our thoughts and our feelings because we own ourselves. Like, we accept who we truly are. You know, we're not trying to be something that we're not. We're not trying to be somebody that we're not. So, like, we understand, like, not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to disagree with you. So,
we give our thoughts regardless. You know, I'm going to be me, you be you. And it's like, if we don't work, then we don't work. You're like, I ain't going to be mad at you. I'm not going to hold it against you just because you don't like me or you don't like what I say. Same thing like that. Like, I may not agree with what you say. I'm not going to hold it against you. I may not agree with it. I think you're fucking batshit crazy. But at the same time, like, dude, that's your right to fucking be so. So that's my thought.
Right, right.
Own yourself.
That's your thought.
Accept your true self. That's really it. Just own who you are. Own your good. Own your bad. Own your ups. Own your downs. Own it all. Own all that shit. Because that's what made you who you are.
You know, I have to concur, you know. So we'll make today's main message of today's show is take ownership. Own who you are. Be who you are. Love who you are, man. Share who you are. You know, Travis, MF, as always, my brothers, it's been an honor. I got to jump. I got another interview with Joey Black Eyes Davis from Bellator. But as always, man, it's been an honor and a privilege to do a show with you. I look forward to next Wednesday. Until then, I wish the best to you both of luck.
Holler. Much love, Don.
Much love, my brothers. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was MF Beck and Travis Highland from the Misfits of Gold. You know, if you don't understand that segment of the show that we do week in and week out, just listen to it each and every week. It's, you know, Travis is a fighter out of MMA Gold. MF is a trainer out there in the same affiliation. And, you know, I shoot the sport and, of course, I do the show. And we just bring our thoughts on everyday things that we see or, you know, we don't like, or we just bring up everything and anything in between the lines just to try to correlate and share with others that we are just normal people and we think like everybody else, but we try to share, you know, different aspects of how we look at life, and we expect some people to like it and we expect some people to not like it, but it is what it is. We're going to take a brief intermission with our sponsor commercial. When we come back, we're going to give Joey Black Eyes Davis a call.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And welcome back. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We're gonna go ahead and try to give Joey Black Eyes Davis a call. This is a scheduled interview.
Hello.
Hey, Joey, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, how you doing, man? You called perfect timing, man. I just arrived at work, too.
Well, did Coach tell you that he had scheduled this interview for you?
No, yeah, he did. He told me at 3 o'clock. I just, you know, people are normally not on time.
Especially me, bro. I'm never on time. You know, I've had you on the show before, and I was impressed with the young man that you are and your thought analysis on being content. You know, we talked about your stint at Notre Dame and your wrestling record and all your accolades, and to you that really meant nothing. You know, if I remember correctly, you said it's really never going to mean anything until you wrap that gold around your waist, until you truly make it. Now you've stepped up in Bellator. You're undefeated. You're looking better and better each time you step out there. What is the thought process of Joey Black Eyes Davis now that you've had the ample time to step up in the pro rankings and compete with such success?
I'm still young, man. I'm still young, and what it is that I have a lot of people that's saying that I can still go, and I still have goals that I have to keep thriving for. You know, I can't be settled. You know, there's a lot of people in my position that would be like, yeah, I've done enough. You know what I mean? I'm done. I just want to just eat and just chill and, you know, just do what the normal people do. And, you know, I have my thoughts and process. So I could have been like, I'm done with everything, you know, because I just wanted to be a coach someday. And I feel like I have the skills to teach any kid what I could possibly, you know, knowing wrestling and done during my career or whatever. So. But what it is right now is that in a professional career, I just have my dad in my life still telling me every day, son, man, you could do more. You could be more. You could be a role model someday. You know, you could be a living legend. You know, not that I can't be now and I haven't done successful in wrestling, but you could do more. You know, you could be like something like Muhammad Ali someday. You know, and it sounds crazy, but you know, this is the platform where I can do that. You know, once I become the world champion of Bellator, you know, whenever I do it or so, God forgive, I'm still young, I can have that platform, you know, give the young kids in Compton to show them that, yeah, you can be a fighter. You know, you can be the Hercules of Compton. You know what I mean? You don't got to be a basketball player because you don't have the height. You don't got to be a football player because every football player don't have the skill set. You know, you can do it by yourself, you know, individually sport. You know what I mean? Because I was an individually type of person. You know, I didn't think a lot of people didn't have my skills on a football field as well as wrestling. But that's why I like the wrestling so much, because you got to really beat me physically, mentally, and skill-wise in a match. You know what I mean? And I worked so hard. I wanted to see who can really beat me if I worked as hard as I can possible. You know what I mean? That was my goal every time I went to practice, and that's how the four championships came. I'm so competitive and kind of freaky-minded that I'm fucked up in the head. Like, I don't know how I can lose. If I can do anything. Like, I don't know how. I got the strength. I have the speed. I know how to fight. I know how to wrestle. I want to know how the hell I'm going to lose. And the only way I can lose in MMA is if I get knocked out. That's why I don't like MMA. I think it's stupid. Because you get hit one time with some little bitty gloves on, and, you know, you could be winning the fight. You get hit one time because the dude hit hard, boom, it's over. You could be totally dominating. It's like, that's kind of, like, shaky to me. You know, wrestling, you got to beat me or pin me physically. Like, you don't have to, you know, so those are things I deal with. But, you know, not just to answer the question, it's just that I have people in my life that saying I can go more or do more, and that what I've done is not enough. And even though that sucks to hear and it hurts to hear, yeah.
Well, you know, I believe in you. You know, and this is the thing that inspires me about you, and I correlated on the first show that we did, is I have a lot of wrestlers on my show. I have a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners on my show. And, of course, in both aspects, there's no striking. It's a chess match. You know, it's a chess match. It's a thought process you go through as a wrestler, you know. And I think you're absolutely correct, and I love the way you put that, because, you know, anybody can get knocked out once the cage door closes. I don't care if you're 51-2 and you're going against a guy that's 2-19. You know, everybody has a lucky day in the cage, but not everybody has a lucky day on the mat. So when you look at that aspect of Joey Davis, would you say that is truly the inspiring factor in who you are and what motivates you to move forward, is that you truly are defined as a warrior on the mat instead of in the octagon?
I feel like the more I get noticed in MMA, I'm quiet now in MMA. You know, I kind of don't want to be known. I kind of want to fly under the radar. But I will be known as a successful warrior in MMA, too. I feel like in wrestling, I was known as I would say a warrior. You're not off track. With that, but I'll go with that.
Yeah, you know, I've had the likes of Juan Archuleta, you know, who's a tremendous warrior. I've had Joe Warren on my show, who's a tremendous Greco-Roman wrestler. And, you know, I just, hearing you speak, you get a lot of the aspects of the mat in you. You know, the one thing that I spoke with my sponsor before the show today, and he had actually called me, and he commended me on having you on the show today. And he said that your story was that of inspiration. And, you know, I concurred with him, because I look at what you've done in life, and I've been able to interview you. This is the second time, I believe, now. And I've heard a young man grow up from the first show till now. I've heard a lot of growth in you. Would you say that that's a fair assumption, that you've transitioned yourself in a different manner, and the way you see yourself in the sport?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, because I'm in a grown man business now. You know, it's not school. It's not fun and games no more. This is people's livelihood. People got kids and take this stuff very seriously. And in the beginning, I wasn't taking it that serious because I was still going to school. I'm still in school. There's not a lot of professional fighters that's still in school doing what I'm doing. Like, you know, I'm still going to my internships. I have a very busy schedule, and I'm living in Los Angeles. Not that that matters right now. But the simple fact that life's changed, man. I got to grow up. And I'm 23 years old, man. I have a lot of responsibilities, and I have no time to lack. You know, you only have a shorter opportunities in life, man. You got to capture them now. That's what I keep hearing. And there was a lot of times I didn't want to hear that. I was trying to ignore it. But, you know, I'm a professional fighter now. You know, there's not a lot of people in my position. And I'm going to take full advantage of it. You know, I'm not perfect. I struggle with a lot of issues I've dealt with, but I'm only 23. But, yeah, I'm in a grown man business. I didn't change a lot of my attitude, you know. But I'm not a dumb kid. I'm very wise and smart. And, like I said, I'm in the game to be the best, just like I was in wrestling, just like I was in my whole life, you know, in competitive sports, you know what I mean? I wasn't the best in school, I would say. I got to get better at that. But and when it comes to competitiveness, man, I've been the best in that for the longest. And I'm going to take this series as well. But I'm young and I'm learning, you know what I mean? So I'm not in a rush. You know what I mean? I'm happy. I'm not satisfied, but I'm happy.
Yeah, and I like that aspect. You know, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but you kind of remind me of Kevin Ferguson when I first interviewed him, you know, and it was a tragic time in his life. His father had just passed away, you know, I think the week before, or maybe 2 weeks before. And,
oh, man,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard time in his life, and I think the only reason he agreed to come on the show is because I knew his father in life. I shot his father's fights, and, you know, he came on the show and he was a shy but yet inquisitive young man who knew where he wanted to be, but he's a lot like you. He wanted to stay under the radar. He doesn't want to go out and be this pronounced aspect of the sport. He wants to do it by nature and by design. You know, when you look at it in that aspect, your father has been a tremendous predecessor to you, but not only your father, but Coach Antonio McKee. You know, it's not often in life that an individual gets to have two tremendous, you know, individuals in their life guiding them and giving them the right knowledge. How much would you say that has played into the career of Joey Black Eyes Davis?
That's a tremendous question, man. I would say this, if it wasn't for like in the black community, you know, a lot of people don't have their dads, you know, and I could go off that too. But if I didn't have my dad in my life, man, I would probably be really a gangbanger somewhere in Compton thugging, honestly. And Antonio, put it this way, he's been coaching me wrestling since I was 5 years old up until this day. And he still coached and grapples with me and coaches with me. So, and I don't even beat him like that. So, it's to the point where, like, it's frustrating a lot because I got two dads. You know, I have two dads that, you know, one's successful in another thing and my dad's successful in his things, you know what I mean? So it's very tough. You know, I don't have a lot of windows to crack and do what I want to do. That's why I try to escape when I can. But without those two people in my life, like I said, I'd probably be thugging or game banging and being a rapper or smoking weed and doing what everybody else want to do, you know what I mean? And not saying that that's bad or nothing, but – you know, just knowing just not in the position I would be now. So if it wasn't for those two men right there, it would be no joy Black Eyes Davis as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never had the opportunity to meet your father, but Antonio McKee is, you know, I'm actually older than him. You know, so this is the funny thing about it. You know, I look to him for advice, for encouragement, and I'm actually the elder of the two. So one day I was sitting here and I told him, I said, you know, I said, what is it about you, bro? I said, because I'm older than you by 3-4 years, but yet I find myself when I am lost or I need some advice, I go to Antonio McKee. And I think it's the spiritualness of him. I think it's the true aspect of who he is. He's straightforward. He doesn't hold any punches back. He says it like it is. Would you say with the aspect of your father and the harsh reality of Antonio McKee's ways, because he's just straight, brutal, and honest, would you say that, you know, like I asked earlier, would you say that has created a new defined warrior in you?
it made the monster it is to this day. Yeah, you know, some of the old man done said shit. I mean, excuse me, like done said things to me that cracked my rib. I was like, why would you tell me that? Like, why? Why do I gotta hear things like that for you to get through to me? Like, you know, I'm a listen, Tony. You don't gotta tell me. And my dad's just the type of person that would try, like, think I'm, like, play me if I'm dumb or stuff, just to try to get in my head, you know, just to see where I'm at in life. And, you know, I'm to the point where I gotta try to outsmart both of them, you know, two legends, you know, to me, you know what I mean? So it's a mental war all the time.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, and I understand where you're coming from because, you know, although I wasn't born in Compton, you know, I was born in a really bad, impoverished neighborhood in Sacramento, California, and I lived in the projects. And, you know, later on in life, I moved to Carson, California, which isn't too far from Compton. And, you know, one thing that people don't understand about life, and I think this is something that you can articulate well on the show today, if you don't mind, you know, I think people, they look at the world and they truly don't understand what real life is in the hood. You know, there, right where you live in Compton, California, there's a 6x6x6 block area that most people never go outside of because they're in fear of gang retaliation, they're in fear of being shot. You know, how much of a pertinence and how hard was that for Joey Black Eyes Davis to break away from that social stigma and become the young man that you are today?
Oh, man, that's funny because that's hilarious you said. I mean, my mom still lives in Compton, man, so I still go back to Compton. I still go to Compton. My mom lives off of Willowbrook, right across the back of Compton High School, literally. So, but growing to answer your question, you know, to go off to what your question is, growing up to that, how did I escape that? And I still have friends, you know, I have about two friends. I don't have a lot of friends. I didn't hang out a lot. I was always in practice, training, do what I had to do. I had about two friends that play football with me that I still see that still lives in Compton, you know, a little bit, trying to change their lives and stuff as well. But I had friends to grow up with, and we pushed through in life. You know, my dad would take us all the way to practice, you know, football practice. They didn't wrestle. They thought wrestling was gay. They were like, I'm not putting that tight-ass thing on. So they didn't do that, but they played football. And we saw a lot of stuff. We did. I'm not going to say I saw, like, killings every day and, but I mean, my house got shot up by AK-47s and my sister could have been dead. You know, my little sister, I had a couple like bad nightmares I could explain. But it was tough. But my dad knew what to do because he grew up in Gary, Indiana. And if you ever heard about Gary, Indiana, it was like somebody dropped a bomb in that place and left it. So I don't even know how he escaped that to come to California. And he knew exactly what to do when he had a son like me. He said I was his precious son. I was his junior. And he took me in and he just knew what to do, man. I can't really explain it. But if it wasn't for him, like I said, I'd still be there.
Yeah, I feel you because I've been through Gary, Indiana. It's kind of like the town that is there but really doesn't exist. So for your father to come from a place like that, it's a pretty far-fetched town. You know, being that you – what was that?
No, I was just saying, oh, man, I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to drive through there, but – you know, to look and get, you know, kind of articulate a point of where I was going, you know, you weren't given the best attributes in life, and your parents did the best for you that they possibly could. And now you've been able to move forward. You've been able to move yourself and you keep yourself out of that social aspect of life of, you know, gang violence and drugs and things of that. And you went on to college. You were at Notre Dame. You were a great wrestler. But now you've stepped up into the Bellator cage. You're 2-0. You know, when you look at where you're at now compared to where you were last year, how do you feel Joey Black Eyes Davis has gained in momentum and enthusiasm? And I guess the best way to put it is how have you articulated yourself through Bellator?
I feel like I'm just learning how the game goes more. You know, by me going to AJ's fight in Ireland, in Dublin, learning that experience outside the culture, how he has fans and things like that, that I didn't even think I didn't know it goes like that. So right now, to answer your question, to be more, because, you know, it's a good question. This would be more specific. I'm taking the back seat to my cousin. He's showing me all the ropes right now. He's 10-0. I'm 2-0. So I don't know absolutely nothing what goes on in Bellator. All I know is an opponent that I get, and I got to train for him. But right now, I just been traveling for the. I traveled with, you know, going out the country, and I just learned a lot of knowledge and how the game goes and what they expect from me and how they look at me and as being an up and coming star. You know, at first, I just wanted to be a humble dude to do moves, but I know some things they expect from me and what they want me to do, and you know, more interviews and things like this, because I don't really like to talk on interviews because I feel like my skills are going to show. You know, I've been training my whole life. I've never stopped training. Since I was 5 years old, I've been wrestling, playing football, something, lifting, you know, something, you know, and just something. I ain't stopped practicing since I ain't stopped. I won four titles, and I went to coach with them the next season. Wrestled with the team now 4 years with the best. We won a national championship. I was training MMA. I've always been training MMA, so I'm going to perform, you know what I mean? And that's just one of the, that's one of my biggest fears, going out there and not performing like I should, because I know how hard I work. So yeah, that's just to answer your question. Yeah, I kind of was off topic, sorry. Yeah, just learning the ropes.
Good.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Just learning
the ropes. You're good, man. Don't worry about it. You know, you kind of led me into a question that I wanted to ask, because actually AJ, he made history the other night when he went 10-0. He beat Ben Askren's record of 9-0. What is it? How does it feel for Joey Black Ice Davis to be a part of a team that is making such a prominent difference in the sport? I mean, you look at Team Body Shop MMA. It's not just one. It's not just two. It's a team, and there's no I or you in this team. And so when you put that together, when AJ won that night, the whole team won. So what does it mean for Joey Black Ice Davis to be a part of that organization and be a part of that family that doesn't put I or you in front of that stipulation?
Man, it means a lot. I'm going to say it means a lot, because just me being with Antonio and somebody I've been knowing since I was 5 years old in a professional league and get to train at home, because you know, I could have been elsewhere in Cleveland. I had opportunities to go with Black House Zillions in Concord, Florida. And I didn't take none of those. I had opportunities to go in Fresno with forgot that management name, but it's with Ed Ruth and a couple of other guys they have there too as well. And they had Aaron Pico as well too before he switched. But I had opportunities to go elsewhere. But just I'm a type of fit in person. As well, I'm not cocky or anything like that unless you push me there, you know, because I don't really like to be that way, because you know, I'm a sponge in the game. I'm soaking in as much as I can. But everybody in our practice, man, is a sponge, and we're competitive as hell. And don't get it twisted. There's a lot of people in there who would not, you know, take you. We'll go at it in practice, but it is a different type of vibe and experience that I've never seen before. It's scary. It's scary, kind of, because you don't want to break nobody's trust. You don't want to break nobody's, you know, talk and build. You know, you don't want to break none of that. It's so scary. You just like, man, everything's so cool. You can talk about anything. So it's almost like, man, it's the blessing.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, the only thing that, and I've correlated this with Antonio, because, you know, I think it's a really good question and a good thought. When you go back 3 years when I started doing shows with Antonio, you know, the team was just getting built up, but you can see Antonio's dream, you can see his ambition. Now you look at Team Body Shop, and you don't see a team, you see a force. And you see individuals that are starting to shine and creating their own pathway. What do you feel it's going to take for Joey Black Ice Davis to create his own pathway, to make his own wave, and step out of the norm and be that particular person that the world looks at?
Excellent question, man. Dang. This is what came to my mind. It's going to take that one fight where I show all my abilities, and it's probably going to be a tough fight. I feel like it's going to be that fight where it's going to have to push out of me, where it's going to show all my abilities, and once I get the mic in my hand and express who I really am, I feel like it's going to take, that's what it's going to take. You know, it's not going to take nothing much. It's just going to take that one fight whenever God gives it to me, and it's that time. That's what I feel.
Most definitely. You know, one thing I do like to do on my show is allow an individual such as yourself that has truly proven himself on many other platforms and has taken the step to even improve, you know, prove and show himself even that much more as you've done in the sport, especially with Bellator. You know, I like to give individuals a right to thank those that have created them and allowed them to get where they're at, whether in the sport or just in life. So if you could correlate a statement to the people that have helped you thus far in life, what would this statement be, Joey?
Man, for that, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I love them, and that's the statement I put. It's all love, and that if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I can't express that too much. That's what I would say to them.
Now, you know, you've come out. You've undefeated so far. Wrestling now, MMA. You know, what would you like next for them to perplex or put on the plate in front of you? Do you feel you're ready to step up in a bigger challenge, or do you feel that you want to just kind of play it out and take whoever Bellator is willing to feed you?
Oh, of course. I'm 2-0 right now. I'm not after nobody. I'm right now. I'm still in school. I'm taking care of other things, but right now, but my training is going so well. I'm gonna just play. I'm just gonna take my time, man. I'm gonna take my time. Listen to my coach Antonio. Not even what Bellator says, you know. Not to disrespect anybody, but I know my coach is just the Yoda of the game, you know, because he was by himself doing it in the beginning, and now he's his own, you know, has his own freaking clan, you know what I mean? So I'm gonna just be humble as possible, soak it all in. And take it, just be behind my cousin AJ, behind my Uncle Tom, whatever he says, I'm in attack mode. He said, go get him, I'm going to go. It's like a pit bull. Whatever he says, I'm going to go. So he knows when I'm ready. I know when I'm ready. Yeah, and that's what it is.
You know, when Antonio first started preaching about, you know, the Bellator takeover, you know, it was kind of a joke between, you know, him and I. You know, it's a dream of his, but... You know, I shouldn't say it was a joke. So it's a dream of his that one day to see, you know, Team Body Shot take over a complete Bellator card. And, you know, for a while there with some of the people he had, you know, I didn't see it correlating quite well. But now that he's built this immense team, he has tremendous warriors like you, Aaron Pico, Brandon Halsey, and, you know, AJ, and then the list goes on, you know, and... It's not so much a far-fetched reality to see, you know, Bellator come to San Jose and basically have Team Body Shop fill out a card and face the world. What would it mean to Joey Black Ice Davis for that day to come, for Bellator to come to San Jose and pretty much have you, AJ, Baby Slice, everybody all fight on the same card, including Antonio, as that's been, you know, pitched out there, and part of one of AJ's deals for his father and him, you know, to fight on the same card. What would it mean for a day like that to happen for Team Body Shop MMA?
I would say this. I want to fight main event. But it'll be incredible, man. It'll be incredible for that day to happen. But we got a lot of work to do. We are not there yet. Hopefully, downplaying this too much. I just want to be humble as possible. But we got a long ways to go, man. I'm 2-0. Slice is, you know, 2-0, 2-1, whatever. Aaron's 2-1 or 1-1, wherever. We still got a long ways to go. But our skills are there and our minds are there, and that's what's scary.
Yeah, and you guys truly are proving to be a dominating factor. You know, for a long time there was only three gyms that I would spout about on my show, and one of them was always Team Body Shop MMA, the other was MMA Gold, and the last was Glory MMA and Fitness in Lee Summit, Missouri, under James Krause and Zach Cummings and Tim Elliott. And, you know, I can't say that I would pick three other gyms in this country to back, and especially with Antonio, I think what he's doing with you guys is tremendous. You know, the creativity, the enthusiasm, and the knowledge that he ascertains and is instilling in you, along with what your father has instilled in you, is going to create a formidable warrior to come in the future. You know, my friend, I'm going to go ahead and toss the mic to you. If there's any friends, family, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, brother.
I just want to shout out to my mom because I don't feel like I gave my mom enough. I just want to shout out to my mom, tell her I love her, dad, everybody, teammates, Team Body Shop. I know what it is, and that's about it. I'm about to head up to this work and punch my time in and do what I got to do, man. Y'all God bless.
God bless you, brother, and thank you for coming on the show. I can't wait to see you back in the octagon. You truly are. very wise young man, and I appreciate your wisdom and appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Thank you.
God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joey Black Ice Davis, tremendous young man. 133-0 at Notre Dame, a Division II wrestler. 2-0 in the Bellator cage as a pro. I don't think there's anything this young man can't do. I think the future is very bright for him. You know, I think Bellator is very smart with Ian Matthews, Rich Cho, and Scott Coker, and all those involved reaching out to Antonio McKee and looking and investing time and money into this individual. He is a star of the future. If you haven't heard much about him, I suggest you go and look, and you'll be quite amazed. This young man comes from Compton. You know, a lot of people would, you know, say that life didn't give him the best aspect of it, but you know what? He didn't look at it that way. He decided he was going to make the best of what he did. His father gave him a tremendous life, and his father is a tremendous asset in the making of Joey Black Ice Davis. With that being said, I want to thank Coach Antonio McKee for, you know, allowing his fighters to come on my show each and every time and showing me the love and respect that, you know, only he can. And on that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Without you, the show wouldn't even happen. The 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie. Beautiful, beautiful people and a wonderful cause. The United Way Merced and Affliction. You know, I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for any of these individuals. I want to thank Joey Black Ice Davis and the Misfits of Gold for coming on today. The first half of the show, if you don't understand it, I apologize. But it's just a weekly special that we do on life and reality. The second half was Joey Black Ice Davis, a tremendous young man that you will have as a household name in the future. On that note, I'm Don McGuire. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Have an enjoyable afternoon. Good night, and God bless.
Yeah. Said I'm riding around in my side of town. Can't even drive. And I'm chilling with a bad chick. She ain't even mine, So far up on the moon. I ain't even high. I know you're feeling that vibe. I know you're feeling that vibe.
All right.
I know you're feeling that vibe.
Right.
I know you're feeling that vibe.
All right.
I know you're feeling that vibe.
Right.
I know you're feeling that vibe.
This vibe music, don't hate, homie, just nod to it. Aside from the fact they deny the movement, I ain't gotta prove that I'm the flyest nuisance. I supply the blueprints and still find a way to make rhymes abusive. And I'ma stay fly with these fine acoustics.